Good morning to all of you. A special welcome to you visitors, and maybe just a little special one to those of you that I worship with back in Indiana. It's good to see memories of faithful people. I was thinking today as what do we do for each other that benefit each other? And sometimes it's easy to think that, well, we go to church, we worship, we do Sunday school, and we sing, but what is my role in benefiting you? And I called someone one time, and he caught me off guard. He said, "Hi, this is me," or I don't remember his name, John, and he said, "How can I benefit you today?" And, you know, it makes you pause when you say that. So one of the things that I think about is our character. And again, we're studying the crucifixion. It's a story that is very valuable to us. But there's two characters in that story that are secondary, I call them secondary primary characters in that story. And it's Judas and Peter. We talk a lot about Judas and his betrayal of his Christ with a kiss. We talk about Peter. Jesus tells him, "You're going to betray me three times." No, I won't do that, Christ. Well, Peter betrays Jesus three times. Well, for sure, we can look at those people and we see that their character was less than appropriate and helpful. To betray and deny a friendship and a relationship in hard times is not an optimal action. I remember one time, and I had to forgive the brother, but I thought we were in a very private conversation that would not go out beyond our interaction. Well, about 2 weeks later, I discovered that his idea of the conversation was distinctively different than mine. And it was hard for me to imagine what had transpired. And so that was an important lesson for me to remember, that friendships in really hard times is really, really important. So I want to talk about church here. You know, one of the things that I've come to participate in, but barely realize you're participating in it, is after church, when we stand around and we talk. And I remember being really young. I'm guessing I was maybe 5 or 6. And I don't even know why we went to this Protestant church. But I just remember afterwards, I was sitting with Dad. I remember just afterwards, everybody just got up, and they had much wider aisles than we do here because they could escape a lot quicker. But people just got up and left. And, you know, I asked my dad, what's going on? He said, "Well, this is just how they do it here in this church." And I have come to appreciate the relationships and the interpersonal actions after this church that have really, really benefited me. I've seen men and women cry. I've seen men and women laugh. I've seen men and women pray with and for each other. And that is exceedingly beneficial to my walk, is the after church. And I'm not minimizing devotional singing and ministering, but there's something about being able to get close to your brother after a service and to understand the hard relationships that he may be going through. So I like to talk, it's an opportunity that presents itself where we get to practice maybe what the writer in 1 John 3:16 says when he said, "By this way we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." A couple months ago, I gave a devotions on Moses, and I've considered a phrase in that lesson. It's in Exodus 3:15. And it appears various times in the Bible. It's a phrase, it's a variation of it, but it says the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And in Exodus 3:15, Moses is debating, but he's telling God, you know, what am I going to say to these people if I go up there? And God says, well, you just tell this to them. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. There's something powerful about reminding people in the Old Testament, something powerful about that statement, where God, if he was trying to make a statement and trying to impress upon people's hearts of what I'm telling you, I am this God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It made people pause. Now, a little bit maybe out of context, out of the devotions, but I find it interesting that in the same book, Exodus 32:13-14, Moses comes down from the mountain and there's a golden calf. And God is so upset with his people, you know, he's just going to wipe them out here. And then Moses pops up and says, whoa, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing to his people. So I guess maybe this, I don't know if you could say it was helpful to be to bring that up, but God certainly thought of the promises that he had made. So let's talk about that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob verbiage that appears so often. To Abraham, in Genesis 12:2, he said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. To Isaac, he said in Genesis 23, I will be with you and bless you, for I will give these lands to you and your descendants, and I will fulfill the solemn promise I made to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants so that they will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. All the nations of the earth will pronounce blessings on one another using the name of your descendants. All this will come to pass because Abraham obeyed me and kept my commandments, my charge, my statutes, and my laws. And then Jacob, when he's laying there, his head on a rock in his dream, in Genesis 28, God says to Jacob, I am the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the ground you're lying on. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, east, north, and south. All the families of earth will pronounce blessings on one another using your name and that of your descendants. There is, the older I get, the more I realize that the people in front of me, my father, Dan, and Harvey, which coincidentally was just lived down the road here a half mile, those people made choices in their lives that affects a lot of descendants. And I've become to value their desire to serve their Lord in a way that they found most precious and most meaningful. And sure, Harvey wasn't perfect. Harvey had a drinking problem. But somebody in this community cared about Harvey. And he stayed here longer because somebody cared about him. And, you know, it's odd to think that what you do for one person may affect people. It was in the early 1900s, so it's over 100 years since Harvey was here. But think about the influence that you as an individual could make on somebody 100 years from now. In 2123, it's possible that you can make an influence on a family. So when we read that line, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, there's something that should stir within us. There's an indication that these men lived their lives that made God desirous to repeat this proclamation throughout his word. The patriarchs mentioned repeatedly in the Bible all had something in common, and that they believed what God said was to be true. It was on display. And no, they weren't perfect, but that gives you and I even more hope. And one thing that is important for me to remember is that what I do today or don't do, it is written in the historical narrative of my life. And often we think of things that we did do, but it's also to consider the sins of omission, things that we should have done. Well, so this past year, people have taught in Sunday school classes, and you've made a difference. And it's surprisingly how quickly a year goes by. And for some of you Sunday school teachers that teach every Sunday, maybe it seems longer than it has for me. But there's also some responsibilities that will change here. And I want everybody to understand that God is with you, and God is going to provide. And I hope that people in the years to come, that your faithfulness will be shown to them and will be evident to them, and that God's work will go on and is accomplished through you and I and our faithfulness. And I'm glad for the historical figures, not just in the Bible, but we have historical figures and all of our ancestry. I think we should be grateful for what they stood for and the God that they loved and worshiped. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for being a God of the past that we can reference so easily through your preserved word. Thank you for the faithfulness of men. Thank you for the examples of also the humanity that we see and read about and get to consider in your word. And help us, dear Lord, to be faithful and to consider not only our time here, but that we live our lives so that the generations to come may have a chance to be beneficial to their children and their generations that follow them. Help us, dear Lord, to love you. Thank you so much for Jesus that makes this all possible. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross that unites our hearts and our minds. Thank you for caring for us as individuals. And thank you for being an everlasting God. Be with us as we continue our worship here, and let us do so with an awe and a reverence for your word and for what it means to each one of us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.